And once again, we come to you on a Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time and bring you Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I have to tell you that on a day like today, beautiful, it's a foggy day here in Santa Barbara on the Central Coast, but it's beautiful. I love it. It's cool and it's crisp and there's moisture in the air and it's wonderful. And on top of that, we have one of my favorite people on the line. We're going to be talking today about his new book called Fractal Time, The Secret of 2012 and a New World Age. Greg Braden is my guest. He's the author of such books as The God Code, The Divine Matrix, Spontaneous Healing of Belief, one of my favorite topics as well. And Greg, it is just a pleasure to have you back on the program here in Santa Barbara with us.
Well, Richard, good afternoon to you. Good afternoon to the listeners. I am thrilled to be on your program, and I'm extra thrilled to be talking about this new book. And I'm not seeing any fog. I've got the beautiful blue sky, high desert of northern New Mexico, and it's a great day to be doing our program today.
Absolutely, and it's a great time in our history. One of the things that we're going to be talking about is just that, the history of, I'm going to say 2012, but not in the context that, we've done 2012 before, the numerical aspects, but that this is part of a cycle. We're going to talk a little bit about that and the other elements of your book as well as we continue talking. But for those people who are not as familiar with you as we are here, can you give us a brief little synopsis of who Greg Braden is and why he is on this quest?
So you're asking me the easiest questions first, right? In 25 words or less. That's the bio. That's the bio that you're reading.
That's right.
No, I've got, I'm going to tie these two things together. I was trained as a scientist, as an engineer, and it was as an engineer in the defense industry during the last years of the Cold War in the 1980s that I first began hearing about 2012 and had never heard of it before. And the Mayan calendar, I certainly had known about the Mayan calendar, but wanted to know what was the big deal about that date. You know, why not 2020 or why not the year 2000? You know, back in the 80s, the year 2012 seemed like a lifetime away.
Mm-hmm.
And it was from my background as a scientist that my man brain wanted to understand some facts, because I very quickly learned every person I asked about 2012, for the number of people I asked, that's how many ideas and opinions that I was getting, and for some people, they were absolutely frightened by the prospect of this year rolling around. They thought it was literally the end of the world. Other people couldn't wait for it to get here. They said it's the beginning of 1,000 years of peace and a lot of really good things happening. And I knew it couldn't be both. So I said, "Well, which one is it?" And that led a journey that began in the mid 1980s. It's ongoing today, Richard. And as you know from our last programs, that journey has taken me into some of the most isolated and remote and pristine repositories of knowledge left on the earth today, into the monasteries of central China and Tibet and Bolivia and Peru and all throughout the desert southwest and the indigenous traditions, to understand not only what 2012 means to us, but to have a better understanding of our relationship to one another, our relationship to the world, our relationship to a higher power, whatever we call that power, and our relationship to the universe beyond, because as different as all these things may sound and appear to be from one another, they're all closely linked. And the year 2012 is a pivotal year regarding our understanding of these relationships. So it was as a scientist that I began looking in the world around me for the knowledge that has been lost over time, as modern civilizations have displaced and distorted many of the ancient ideas that are actually very factual. They simply were never recorded in a scientific language. That's a long answer to your short question.
Well, I appreciate that long answer, and we're going to have an opportunity for even longer answers as we continue into our second segment here with Greg Braden, the author of Fractal Time, The Secret of 2012 and the New World Age. And I'm Richard Dugan, and we're going to continue here on the program. Now, we're actually going to open up the phone lines if you have some questions for Greg. We'll be taking those later on in the broadcast, but please give us a call at 805-564-1290, 805-564-1290. If you're outside the area listening live on the Internet, we do stream at richarddugan.com. You can click on that giant planet, the Earth, there, and it says Listen Live, and you can listen to us on the Internet from anywhere in the world, and then, of course, when the program is over, it's going to be archived and available again for listening. So stay with us here on Tell Me Your Story. This is New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, bringing you choices and knowledge of those choices, along with my special guest, Greg Braden.
Do your thoughts center on regret and resentment? Do you feel lost with all the joy drained out of your life? Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. I'll inspire and help you find your inner strength to regain clarity and balance in your life. Book your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
There's a very special place here in Santa Barbara that helps people recover from injuries and illness that could be disabling. This place is inspiring, renewing hope, and nurturing independence by giving people tools and training to reach their optimum level of health. This place is Rehabilitation Institute at Santa Barbara. Located at 2415 De La Vina Street, Rehabilitation Institute at Santa Barbara plays a vital role in the Central Coast healthcare continuum. There simply is no other freestanding rehabilitative hospital of its kind between Los Angeles and the San Francisco Bay Area. Whether healing from stroke, orthopedic injury, neurological illness, brain or spinal cord injury, Rehabilitation Institute at Santa Barbara has the specialized team of physicians, nurses, therapists, and much more to assure the best possible outcome. If you or a loved one requires compassionate and specialized care to recover from an injury, illness, or accident, talk to your physician about Rehabilitation Institute at Santa Barbara or call 805-687-7444 and ask for admissions.
Okay, it's time to play Name That Restaurant. Here are the clues. This mystery restaurant is located in Santa Barbara.
Well, that narrows it down to about 550.
This restaurant has indoor and outdoor seating.
Oh, now you're talking. There are only a couple of hundred restaurants that have outdoor seating.
Give up?
No, I'm looking at nippers.com. There are menus, recipes, the forum, restaurant news, and over 200 restaurant reviews written by professional food journalists.
Check out nippers.com, always serving up all the right answers about Santa Barbara restaurants.
Keeping all that fear inside. I understand how trouble haunts you.
It haunts me too.
Yes, and I do know how you feel. Oh, come on, walk with me. Talk with me. Tell me your story.
New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, bringing you choices and knowledge of those choices to hopefully dispel the fear that is down deep inside, that is being generated by some corners of the world in regards to this whole issue of 2012. Greg Braden, my guest, he's the author of Fractal Time, The Secret of 2012 and A New World Age. Now, I find it interesting. I want to just kind of look at the title of your book first. Now, I know what fractals are as far as images. I've seen some of them, and boy, they are pretty spectacular. Computer-generated, numerically enhanced, if you will, beautiful pictures. But you have The Secret of 2012. I didn't know that it was a secret.
Well, you know, this is probably a good point in the program to talk about precisely this. What we've found, Richard, you know, on your program, in all probability, the listeners, most of the listeners that are with us today are what we would call the choir. We're having a conversation with the choir about the year 2012. Most of our listeners know that the winter solstice, December 21st of 2012, mm-hmm. marks the end of the last of five cycles in the Mayan calendar. Each of those five cycles is 5,125 years long, and when you take all five of them together, they approximate the 26,000-year cycle. So when 2012 rolls around, we are living the end of a 5,125-year cycle that happens to coincide with also with the end of this 26,000-year cycle. So I think most of our listeners are probably somewhat familiar with some of that, but what I found, Richard, I've traveled the world these last 5 years. I've been on every continent of the earth, with the exception of Antarctica. We haven't done any workshops down there yet, but we hope to.
Those are coming.
They got their first ATM in Antarctica, so it won't be long, and they'll have a Barnes & Noble there, and I can go do a workshop.
There you go.
But the But the what we found is that once we move beyond the choir and we move outside of this circle of friends and brothers and sisters that have these conversations, this whole idea and this whole concept is a bizarre mystery that many people have never heard of. And I asked for a show of hands in the live programs. And those that are honest, we had 3,000 people in a room in New York in December. I said, how many have never heard of anything about the year 2012? And over half the audience raised their hand. The reason I'm saying this is because the first insight that they get into anything around 2012 is probably going to be one of the very frightening documentaries that the cable stations are beginning to broadcast, or the major Hollywood motion picture that is now scheduled for release in the fall of this year.
Yes.
That is called 2012, and the frightening, the trailer itself looks frightening, and it's a monk in the top of the Himalayan mountains in Tibet, well above sea level, ringing a gong to warn the other monasteries just as the crests of the ocean waves come over the top of the Himalayas and sweep him away, and the screen goes blank and says, how would the governments of the world warn 6 billion people that the end was near? And then it goes blank again, and it says they wouldn't. And that's the trailer. So for many people, they're saying, you know, what in the world is going on? The bottom line for me, as a scientist, I wanted to understand the facts, because a lot of speculation, a lot of theory, a lot of people having intuitive insights, channeled insights, readings and things like that, they're all valid. They all contribute to our understanding, but they aren't really based in facts. So what I began to find, Richard, was that if I was going to understand anything about 2012, I had to understand the cycles of time, our relationship to those cycles, what the ancient civilizations knew about those cycles, and where we are in those cycles right now. And that led me on a journey that continues to this day. This book is the result of 22 years of research surrounding that journey. The bottom line to this book is that we are, in fact, living the close of a cycle, and by its very nature, the cycles repeat over vast periods of time, so vast that probably no one today, living today, remembers 5,000 years ago when this cycle began.
Right.
However, if we know where to look into the cycle, if we know where to look into the past, we can give ourselves a really good, concrete, realistic idea of what we can expect when that cycle repeats. So in other words, if we can look into the rhythms of nature that unfold following very, very precise patterns and following very precise numbers, if we understand that, then it becomes very simple to take those rhythms and look backwards from the date of 2012, apply those rhythms backwards and say, where was the seed for the 2012 cycle planted in our past? And once we have that date, Richard, what we can do is we can then look at the physical evidence that coincides with that date to give us an idea of what to expect. We can look at the geologic evidence of the Earth. We can look into the ice cores in Antarctica, for example. We can look at the seafloor sediment cores that come from the bottom of the oceans. We can look into the archaeological records of human civilization, all correlated around very precise dates, say what was happening then, and those events are literally the seeds for the patterns of the cycle that we are completing again right now. And that's the key to what this book is all about. How do we do that? And I've made it very easy for the readers to do that, because the mathematics is relatively simple. I've included it in the appendices of the book for people that want it. For people that don't, they can read the book without looking at that math. And for people that really like to have someone else do that math for them, we have automated these rhythms of nature into what is called a time code calculator that is available on the website with the instructions, and also the instructions in the book, so that people can plug in the cycles, plug in the dates, and use these principles in a number of different ways, both in our planetary cycles as well as in the personal cycles of our own lives, because the rhythms apply to us as well.
Mm-hmm.
When we have a strong emotional imprint of love and success and abundance or loss and betrayal, in our personal lives, that becomes the seed for a personal cycle that will repeat again and again, following the rhythms of nature, until we do something to change that pattern. And it helps us to understand when those patterns are coming up. It doesn't mean the exact repeat of the event will happen. It means the conditions of that love and betrayal, or the conditions for that success, are repeating. And we can talk about all that as we go through our program today.
Absolutely. Now, we have talked before, and you even talk about this in the God Code, about events repeating themselves, that civilizations have existed thousands and thousands of years before we ever came on the scene as a modern man. And you have some very specific archaeological evidence to support that position. And go ahead.
What we do, Richard, and this is the point, the whole point of this book, is it doesn't do us any good to know where we are in a cycle if we don't know what it means and what to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've begun to understand is that some of the greatest civilizations in the history of our planet collapsed when they reached the point in their cycle where we are in our cycle right now. And this is the emphasis. This is why I'm so passionate about sharing this information. Can we learn from our past and avoid the mistake that at least two civilizations in the past have made when they reached the place where we are right now? And that mistake is simply this: when the world changed for them, just as the world is changing for us, because of the conditions that the cycle brings,
mm-hmm.
when the world changed for them, they didn't understand what was happening, and they didn't know that the changes are intense, yet they are brief. And in not knowing that, they had a choice. They could either work together to get through that cycle together, or they could fight with one another for the resources that were diminishing. And this is the choice that has been made at least twice in our past. The violent competition to claim the last vestiges of an unsustainable way of living and resources that are disappearing. And the last two civilizations where this happened, Richard, nobody won. Everyone lost. The civilization collapsed. And when we look at the parallels between what happened then and what happened now, the parallels are absolutely striking. And so I sense that the great opportunity for this time for us in our time in history is, if we know that the cycle brings about changes that are really intense for a relatively brief period of time, maybe one generation, it's not like a century. So if we recognize that, and we can work together as a family on this planet to get us through these very real changes — I'm not saying it's a bed of roses here, we've got to work together —
mm-hmm.
my sense is we're going to find that we actually like working together, and that we're better people for it, and we have a better world because of it. And then when the challenges of our time are no longer present, even though we don't have to work together to survive, we'll find that we like doing it so much that we choose to continue. And I think that is perhaps the great opportunity for this time in history.
And I think that's one of the reasons why the aspects of community as a verb are coming up. That's what we've talked about a great deal on this program since it started back in September of 2007, is fostering that new way of living. Now, I've often said that I'm looking for that new way to live. I don't know where it is or what it is exactly, but when I find it, I'm going to be telling everybody. And when you talk about us preaching to the choir, as it were, speaking to the choir, then once they've heard this again, they need to go out and sing it to the rest of the world, that, hey, this is not something to be feared. It's something to be prepared for, but not to be feared. Because, as you say, it is something that's brief. And I mean,
absolutely. Absolutely.
You know,
and this is what fractal time tells us. Now that we know where to look in the past, and we, you know, in a one-hour program, we're glossing over this. In the book, we do it probably more detailed mm-hmm. than anybody wants. But once we found that the actual dates that would tell us where to look in the past for the seeds of the 2012 cycle, then we gained access to the data from the Antarctic ice cores, for example. And we were able to go in and look at those dates and look at the ice cores, and we now know we can tell every year for the last 500,000 years from the Antarctic ice, we can tell how strong the magnetic fields of Earth were, we can tell what global temperatures were, we can tell how strong the radiant information from the sun, whether or not the sun had a strong or a weak effect. We can tell whether sea levels were high or low. We can tell whether ice caps were melting or freezing. And much more. We can tell all that from those ice cores. So we've done that in the book, and the bottom line is that in the last 100 years, Earth has definitely gone through a big change. It's a pronounced change. It seems radical to us, but when we look at it within the context of history, that change actually brought us into alignment with where we always appear to be when we go through one of these cycles. What happens is that because of the position of the Earth in space, the way we are positioned, it allows greater amount, the magnetic fields are weakened, we get more energy from the sun that heats up the oceans, it heats up the atmosphere, it begins to melt the ice on the poles, the sea levels rise, the ocean salinity changes, the weather patterns change, and all of a sudden you can't grow corn in Nebraska the way you used to grow it. And that happens every 5,125 years in the cycle that we're on right now, as well as within other cycles.
You know, the question's been raised, why 5,125 years? And it's like, well, that's just because that's the way we calculate days and weeks and months and years, and that's the way the cycles work out.
Well, there's actually a very good physical explanation for that,
okay.
And some of our listeners may be familiar with a term that is called the precession of the equinoxes. Not procession, precession of the equinoxes. We know that where the sun rises, appears to rise on the Earth on the winter solstice every year, if it were nighttime, there would be a constellation behind that. So the sun looks like it's rising in a constellation, and that those change over long periods of time. So right now the sun is rising in Pisces, and we are in the age of Pisces, at the very end of the age of Pisces. Before Pisces began about 2,000 years ago. And before that, we were in the age of Aries, the ram. We're moving into the age of Aquarius. By the time we go through all of the 12 zodiac signs, it takes about 25,625 years to go through all 12 of those zodiac signs. Where we are in those signs is determined by a tilt or a wobble that Earth has while it's hanging in space. And that 5,625 years is divided into five smaller cycles, and each of those is 5,000... I'm sorry, I just said that wrong. The 26,000-year cycle is divided into five 5,000-year cycles.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do the math, we're rounding the numbers here, but it's actually 5,125 times 5 is should be 26,625.
Okay.
Yeah, 25,625. So how do we know that? We know that because there are very precise alignments, astronomical alignments, that we could only confirm in the 20th century with our computers and our satellites.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, ancient civilizations were able to not only confirm them, but they mark them and they use them as anchor points for where we are along these cycles. Many civilizations did it. The Mayans are the only ones that I'm aware of today that actually had the precision and used the numbers to define that cycle. Other civilizations use signs of nature. You know,
mm-hmm.
They say, like,
yeah.
You know, when a white buffalo is born, we've entered this cycle, or
right.
A blue star appears, we've entered this cycle. And that's all good, you know, if you don't have the numbers. But the Mayans appeal to us because of their mathematics and our scientific way of seeing the world. We can link into their mathematics. And so they say that this cycle began in 3114 B.C. is the way the dates have been translated.
Mm-hmm.
And the cycle completes in December 21st with the solstice in 2012 A.D. But I want to emphasize it's the end of an age, not the end of the world. It's
right.
The end of what is called a great world age. And by definition, the end of anything is the beginning of what comes next. You know, we just talked about this on an interview that I did yesterday. We could just as easily emphasize, rather than saying we're living the end of a great world age cycle, we could say we're living the beginning of a new world age cycle. And,
yeah.
And that's where the emphasis could be.
If you've just joined us, my guest is Greg Braden, the author of Fractal Time. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, bringing you choices and knowledge of those choices, not only to make your dreams come true, but also to help dispel and bring about some joy and happiness in your life, despite what you might be hearing from other corners of the world regarding 212. Greg, I'm curious about why this is important to anybody. I mean, it's going to happen whether we like it or not, just like the sun rises and sets in our given locations where we live. Mm-hmm. Why is it important for us to be in any way, I'm going to use the word concerned,
sure.
curious, or even aware of it, instead of just going about our daily lives? I mean, the farmers out in Iowa probably don't care. All they want to know is that we're going to get some rain from time to time. They're going to be able to harvest the crops, sell them, and then start the cycle over again.
Absolutely. And it's a great question. And we can answer some of it now. We'll maybe have to pick it up after our break to answer the rest of it.
Oh, good. We're good until about 10 minutes of the hour.
Okay, good. Then, and our hour's going fast,
yes,
by the
is.
Way. What makes it so interesting is when we talk about the alignments of things like our solar system and the Milky Way, the core of the Milky Way galaxy and the equator of the Milky Way, these are huge systems, Richard, and an alignment isn't something that happens on a day or in a moment in time. They're gradual movements. They appear gradual to us anyway from our perspective here on Earth. That happen over in what we would call a zone of time. And this is important because so many people are hearing that so many frightening things are coming down the pike for 2012. And one of the important things I think to know is that we are already well into the zone of that alignment. We actually entered into it right around 1980. And we leave this zone more or less around 2016. 2012 happens to be the solstice that the Mayans use to anchor the end of the cycle. But we leave this zone of activity around 2016. And, you know, some of the most frightening predictions and possibilities that people tend to focus upon for that 2012 date, if we look closely, we recognize that they're already happening. Because those elements of the prophecies and the predictions, they say, you know, that the sea levels will rise, there'll be great earthquakes, and the waves from the earthquakes, the tsunamis will wipe entire cities from the face of the earth on the coastlines, mm-hmm. The fires will rage on multiple continents uncontrollably, and that millions of people will die from diseases that we have no cure for. All those things, they're already happening.
Yeah.
They've been happening, and our listeners also know that's certainly not all that's happening. There are a lot of really good, really positive things that are happening in this time as well. And this is where the predictions and the prophecies get so interesting, whether we're talking about Nostradamus or Edgar Cayce or the Hopi prophecies or the Navajo or the Tibetan prophecies or the Andean prophecies, whatever they are, those frightening predictions are only part of the prophecy. They also tell about the possibilities that are just the opposite of that, but the media doesn't pick up on those.
No, no, because the attitude is, if it leads, it bleeds, or if it bleeds, it leads.
Well, there's a very unfortunate term in Western media today, and the term simply is that peace does not sell.
Right.
In other words, people are not going to tune into a program about peace and prosperity. They are tuned into programs about things that are frightening to them.
Yeah.
So there's a tendency to focus on those things, but all of those predictions and prophecies, if we go back and read them in their entirety, they also all foresaw just the opposite of those frightening things. They foresaw a world in harmony. They foresaw civilizations working together and an era of unprecedented peace where we've outgrown the habit of war to solve our problems. They saw those things as well. And so you say, well, if they're prophecies, it can't be both. Which one is it going to be? And this is the second long answer to your second short question is they said, we cannot tell you how this cycle will end because you are writing the end as you're living the cycle, while you're living the time. Now, to a scientist, that makes a scientist crazy. They say, you know, what do you mean we're writing the end of the cycle? But here is the deal. The nature of cycles is that when one cycle ends and another cycle begins. Before the second cycle begins, there's a place in between where neither exist in that moment in time. It's kind of like when we take a breath. You have an inhale, and there's a moment where you're no longer inhaling, but you're not really exhaling either. It's that quiet space in between. Or the natives applied the same principle to every day. They say, at the end of the day, when the sun disappears behind the horizon, the sun's not up, so it's not daytime, but it's not night either. They call it the crack between the worlds. It's the space between.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we talk about cycles, this space between is the magical, mystical point that physicists today call the choice point. And it's this place where our choices become even more potent and have greater influence than they would at any other place in the cycle. So 2012, the 2012 zone of time, our 2012 window, I'm not saying it's on that day, but in that zone of time, we are being invited to evaluate the choices we've made over 5,000 years of civilization. Look back on what we've created and determine what works and what doesn't without judging it. Everything worked well enough to get us where we are here today. Maybe it was a rough, circuitous route, but we're here.
Mm-hmm.
And now we get to say, okay, what worked and what doesn't? The things that don't work, don't do them anymore. Don't give them any more energy. The things that do, let's do that a lot more. And I think that is precisely what we're seeing right now. The unsustainable ways of creating a civilization are disappearing, and there are some that are fighting to keep them alive. The economy is a perfect example. An economy that is based on an ever-expanding market that's only successful by profiting over someone else's loss. That is not a sustainable way of living. Fueling our civilization from a finite source that actually hurts the very things that we cherish the most, and that is life and our earth itself. That's not sustainable. So they got us to where we are now, and they were what they were. So without judging them, we're being invited to lay the foundation, create the blueprint or the template during this window of time for the next cycle and the next 5,000 years of this world age. It's all going to be based on the choices that we're making right now, and this is the value of knowing about a choice point, the time in between, the space in between, is where we are right now.
And that would explain then why, Greg, so many people on so many fronts, from people here locally to Malika Chopra and Lynn McTaggart and many other people, are involved in getting people to focus on their intent, to focus on what they really want. This program is focused on new paradigms, new ways of thinking, of doing, of being. That it's almost as if, on the one hand, you kind of laid this out as far as you have the prophecies. But on the other hand, you have the, if I can put it this way, the human/spiritual element that says, you know what, we don't have to have the trauma drama if we don't want to. We can choose something else because of the place that we are in, as you just referred to, as the choice point.
Absolutely. It's knowing, and this was an answer to your question about why do we care? Why know about this now? Because it is probably obvious, even to people who have never heard of 2012, it's probably very obvious something's up on the planet. It's mm-hmm. not life as usual. The world has changed. And a lot of people that I talk to, they say they're just waiting for things to go back to normal, back to the way they were.
Yeah.
And my sense is that we're living the new normal.
Yeah.
And that our longing to go back to something else will be precisely what causes the suffering and the discrepancy between what is and what we remember. But if we can honor the past, it got us where we are, recognize some of those things no longer serve us, put into place the things that do, and the things that did serve us do even more of those.
Yeah.
I know people are seeing this in their lives. I think that's why everyone is experiencing our time differently. Relationships. You deal with people in relationships. If people have good, solid, tight relationships and they're going through these tough times, they're probably getting even better. If they were marginal relationships, maybe superficial kinds of relationships that never really got into core values, in the lives of the people involved. When you go through a time like we're going through now, those values are going to light up for you and be served up on a silver platter. And we're probably seeing a lot of relationships blowing apart so they can find their healing and move on to the relationships that they identify with, that they match with. Whether that's true, whether we're talking about intimate romance or whether we're talking about friendships, whether we're talking about corporations or whether we're talking about careers. So a lot of people are saying, you know, I'm really drawn, I like my job, but I don't feel fulfilled. I feel like there's something bigger that I've got to contribute. That's that trigger within them.
Yeah.
So all these things are happening for us right now. But for me, again, the whole point of this program, what can we realistically expect? When we look at the rhythms of nature that govern life and we apply those rhythms to cycles of time, that's the uniqueness of this book. Nobody's done that before, and that's why I wanted to share what happens when we do.
Mm-hmm.
It tells us where in the past to look for the seeds of what we can expect now or for a date in the future, and the time code calculator helps us do that. So we plug in the year 2012 using mode number 2, if anybody's listening and online and you're doing this, mode number 2, plug in the year 2012, it tells us that the seed for 2012 was actually planted in the year 1155 B.C., and that there's another seed that was planted in the year 13,824 B.C. So those are two seeds. Now we've got real dates. Let's go back in history and of civilization, history of the earth, and see what was happening. And the bottom line is that what we find is that the things that are happening now happened then as well. During both of those seeds, the magnetic fields of the earth declined, just like they are now. When it declined, the radiant information that we received from the sun, the effects of the sun on the earth, there was a sharp increase. It's called luminosity, and that luminosity increased, just like it is now. And when that happened, global temperatures increased 1 to 2 degrees Celsius, just like they are now. When that happened, the poles began to melt, the ice sheets collapsed, just like they are right now. And when that happened, the sea levels increased then, just as our sea levels are increasing now. The weather patterns changed, the climate shifted, just as they are now. So as dramatic as those changes appear to us, they have now brought us into alignment with where we have been in the past, when we go through the cycles. That's for Earth.
Yeah.
Now, civilization, and this is where it gets really interesting, one of the most powerful superpowers in all of recorded history collapsed when they reached the point in their cycle that we are in our cycle right now, and it was Egypt's 20th dynasty, 1155 B.C. Historians will know this date very well, and the time code calculator pegged it. We plug in 2012, use the math, and it goes right back. It says 1155 B.C. is the year that the seed was planted for what we can expect in 2012. So I said, okay, what was happening in Egypt then? It's the same thing that's happening now. The weather changed, and their resources began to diminish, and where they could grow their food changed. That's happening to us right now. They began to fight multiple war fronts on with different nations to try to sustain a way of life very similar to what we're doing right now. It took a lot of money, and their economy was very stretched the way ours has been, and the economy collapsed under the weight of all of these things that were happening. Workers began to go on strike. They wouldn't work anymore, and all of a sudden, this powerful dynasty that had been there much longer than our 200 years or so, it collapsed under the weight of all of the things that were no longer sustainable. Now, ours hasn't collapsed, but we have to ask ourselves, are we making the same mistakes?
Right.
Can we learn from our past? And at the very least, the parallels are striking.
Yeah.
The parallels are absolutely striking.
It is fascinating to be in this time and watch what's happening in my lifetime and even hear the voices of those who went through, at least as far as this country is concerned, its first economic downturn of the 20th century, that being the Great Depression, and the comparisons that are being made and all those kinds of things. And yet, statistics will bear out the fact that as much as we hear about the negative aspects of the Great Depression, there were still people that were working, were still had homes, were still paying their mortgages, still had families, were still doing all of the things that they were doing before the Depression hit. Just as today, 90%+ of the people who own who have owned homes in this country still are making their mortgage payments. 90% of the workforce is still working. In other words, when you start looking at the other side that doesn't make the news, it's like it's not as bleak as we're being told. And so now we have to decide, where are we going to get our information? What are we going to focus on? And how are we going to make that make a difference in our lives? I'm a city boy. I was born and raised in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm living up on a hill on virtually a farm, a chicken farm now. Never thought I would ever do that in spite of an aptitude test at the age of 19 that said I should be a farmer. Well, it took some 30 years, but there you are. And so we're all making those adjustments and all of those changes. And your book, Fractal Time, The Secret of 2012 and the New World Age, I find that an interesting phrase, too, the New World Age, as opposed to what a lot of people would refer to as the New World Order. It's a whole different thing. And even REM had that phrase maybe a little twisted when they said the end of the world as we know it. Well, it's the end of the age as we know it.
This is the term that the Mayans used. They called this a great world age.
Yeah.
And they said they likened it to the gestation period in the womb of a woman in an embryo. Mm-hmm. They said after our 5,000 years, we will be born again. And they said we won't recognize our world. We won't recognize ourselves.
Interesting.
But the key is that we continue. It's just that things have changed.
They've shifted, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Chapter five of the book, there's a section in the book called Global Flashpoints and Hotspots, mm-hmm. where we're using fractal time. We're going back looking at the crisis events that defined our history and when the seeds were planted to see when those conditions cycle around again. 1929 was the seed for the collapse of the economy. It had never happened before like that. 1941 was the seed for a world war. 1914 was the seed for a global world war. 1945 was the seed for nuclear weapons and civilian populations.
Yeah.
Those dates are all different, but as different as they are, when you plug them in the calculator, they all come up with the same year when those conditions repeat, when the cycles come around again. It's the year 2010.
Wow.
So because we know that when a cycle ends, the next one begins, and the choice points between, it means that 2010 is the year for the opposite of all those things, to the end, the beginning. 2010 is when we can plant the seed and make the choices for a powerful, prosperous economy, for we can make a choice to never use nuclear weapons against civilians again. We can make a choice that global war or war itself is obsolete. That is the value of the choice point, because in between the cycles, when it pinpoints one cycle ending, in this case there are a number of cycles converging, at the same time, that is the great opportunity when our choices become so potent. And I think it's no accident that we're all becoming aware of these things now. 2009 is laying the foundation. 2010, we get to make a lot of choices.
Yeah.
I think when 2012 rolls around, it's all over. I mean, we've already made it. I think 2010, 2011 are the big years.
Yeah, and so start thinking about what you want to create for 2012 and beyond, folks, because and you've got 600, 700 plus days to do it in, so make every day count and start putting that together. You're also, if I'm correct, you're also the author of a book called The Zero Point, because you keep talking about the choice point. Isn't that right? Or you have some
Back in 1988, I wrote a book called Awakening to Zero Point, The Collective Initiation. We don't talk about it a lot because the book is out of print and it's not available.
Oh, I still have my copy.
On eBay, it's available. It's selling for $300 a copy. So that was a tank of gas, you know, last summer. But, it laid the foundation for scientists and engineers back in the 80s to participate in the conversation that we're having now, because they felt left out of a lot of the new thought conversations.
Now, before we break for our last segment here, I want to remind our listeners, number one, this is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. My guest is Greg Braden, the author of Fractal Time. The Secret of 2012 and the New World Age, and this is New Paradigms for a New World, bringing you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And let's see if we can't make some incredible dreams, not just for ourselves, but our families, our communities, our city, state, and even the entire globe. But I wanted to touch on one thing before we break here, Greg. With everything that you've mentioned, especially about the physical earthly changes, what struck me was this is part of a cycle, what's happening, and yet there are two sides arguing over whether or not man has had anything to do with what's happening. Mm-hmm. And I say, you know what? I throw out both sides' arguments and say, wouldn't it just be a good idea if we went ahead and did some of the things that we're talking about? You know, like recycling and like desalinization on a sustainable level and all of these other things, just because it's the right thing to do, not because man screwed the planet up, but because it's the right thing to do.
Let's talk about that when we come back.
All right, we'll do that. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. Stay tuned.
Restoring balance and joy to your life can be achieved by letting go of negative thought patterns and destructive habits. Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. I'll inspire and help you find your inner strength to regain clarity and balance in your life. Book your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
If you're looking for a general contractor to hang a door or build your multi-million dollar facility, talk to Armstrong Associates that specializes in both residential and commercial construction. I'm Steve Cushman, president of the Santa Barbara Region Chamber of Commerce. We're proud that Armstrong Associates, a five-time Builder of the Year award winner, was recently named one of the 20 fastest growing companies in the Tri-Counties. Armstrong Associates provides a broad range of building, consulting, and construction services for simple to elaborate commercial and residential projects. They specialize in green building construction, and they excel at assisting architectural firms with timely, cost-efficient design and budget criteria, while working closely with clients, government agencies, and the general public to ensure quality from start to finish. Looking for a general contractor who is dedicated to exceeding desires and expectations, contact Bill Shields at Armstrong Associates 569-6170 or armassoc.com.
Are you interested in assisting those affected by disasters both here at home and across the country, like the recent hurricanes along the Gulf Coast? The American Red Cross Santa Barbara County Chapter is offering free disaster training courses in Santa Barbara. Pre-registration is required, so sign up now. For more information, call 687-1331, 687-1331, or visit on the web at www.sbredcross.org.
Tell me your story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan with Greg Braden, and we have about 5.5 minutes or so left, 5 minutes of the program. So we're going to jump right back into that little segment there, Greg, that I brought up about just doing the right thing, regardless of what factions are saying. This is the reason why we're where we are. Let's just come up with some new ways of doing things.
Absolutely. And you know, when I have these conversations with our live audiences, we spend a few moments fleshing out a lot of concepts we don't often get to do on the radio, but it's a really important point. When we look into the history of the planet, when we go, and this is only one kind of cycle. We're talking about a 5,000-year cycle, and five of those approximates a 26,000-year cycle. There are other cycles. There's a cycle that's 65 million years. Every 65 million years, something happens. There's a 250-million-year cycle. And there are some cycles that are much briefer.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at nested cycles within cycles within cycles.
Yeah.
So the bottom line to our time is, have humans caused global warming? That's the straight up question that comes to me all the time. And the answer I have to give and be very clear about is that it appears that the planet warms on a cyclic basis to a degree, and it also appears that human civilization and industry have contributed to a process that was underway and accelerated that process to a point where we've got to deal with it now, where otherwise we may not have had to deal with it for another 80 to 100 years. We probably, the evidence suggests we've accelerated it by about 80 to 100 years, and we've definitely added to it. So, but for me, this is what you said, Richard, the bottom line, what we were doing is not sustainable. We definitely need to get off fossil fuels. We definitely need to find a way to fuel and power this planet in a way that doesn't take advantage of people that have below the poverty level in other countries to get us some coal or to get us, you know, whatever the resources are, uranium or whatever it is. We need to find new ways to live our lives, and we should do it whether we're in a cycle or not is my, that's a Gregism, that's my personal belief.
there's a new book for you.
Okay. Or a new radio program.
Or a new radio program, there you go.
Yeah, so I just want to clarify that, and yeah. I think it's important for us all to recognize, but on the other hand, it's important to recognize that Earth isn't broken. And
right.
We haven't necessarily done anything wrong. However, we are being nudged, strongly nudged, mm-hmm. into some powerful choices about the way we live our lives. I believe it's what I call graceful urgency. I think we've got all the time we need, and now is the time to do something. We can't wait another 5 years. We've got to put these choices into action now, and there are a lot of people, a lot of groups throughout the country that are being developed to help us do just that.
And
if
we don't make those choices, we're going to wind up like the one civilization that you write about in the God Code that you found evidence of in India. And I'll let folks pick up that copy of that book and read more about that. But I encourage you to pick up a copy of Fractal Time. Greg Braden has been my guest. Greg, it is always a pleasure. And we're going to try to have you on a little more often, whether you have a new book out or not, just to see where you are and what new thoughts and ideas have sprung up in that wonderful brain of yours, as well as that heart that cares, and that's really where we're coming from. And again, I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Richard, I want to thank you for being such a gracious host, for your kind words, and for your vision and your dedication to what you do, so we have a forum on the Saturday afternoon and have these kinds of conversations.
I love it.
I want to thank you for that. I look forward to the next time.
Absolutely, and we'll make it much sooner than later, we certainly hope. Again, the book is entitled Fractal Time. It is The Secret of 2012 and the New World Age. I'm Richard Dugan, and I want to thank you for joining us. And join us every Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time for Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to bring about those dreams and hopes and aspirations that you have in your heart and your mind for yourself, your family, and your community. I'm Richard Dugan. Join me next Saturday at the same time. Until then, love to Lal.